to the Comic Book of the Month podcast, episode 5. This is GB Trans Viet in America. We've got a small crew this evening due to many, many, many extenuating circumstances. So let's introduce ourselves. I am Dylan.
Nicole.
Chris.
And Keith.
All right. Really quick, wanted to give some shout-outs to some people that we saw at WonderCon. As many of the people who read the blog and have been following us on Facebook know, we went to WonderCon on a press pass, at least two of us. Met Eric Schanauer, who's the creator of Age of Bronze. Had a lengthy, awkward conversation with him.
That was fun.
And then there's Patrick McAvoy and David Rodriguez, who were nice enough to give us a copy of the first volume of Starkweather.
Yes, thank you.
And Austin and Adam Tinius, the creators of Hollyhocks, they have an Italian artist named Stefano Cardicelli who does the art, and really, go look this up online and get yourself a copy. They're selling it for $4. It's 48 pages, full color. They're selling something for way cheaper than it's worth.
What was the pitch that they sent to, or that they told us? Like, it's the future, and this woman wakes up to discover there's no gravity.
Yeah, there's no gravity left on Earth. That's all I needed. I was sold. Then a few more people that we saw, maybe they're listening, so we want to say hi. David Mack, the creator of Kabuki, did a couple of runs on Daredevil, did a sketch for Nicole.
Thank you. I love it.
And Robert Kirkman and Ryan Otley.
Yeah.
And we actually passed a card to Dan Didio, which was pretty great. It was very funny. And I got to talk to Len Wein for about 5 minutes about Wolverine, which is cool because he's a big hero of mine. And then we also want to thank Ben Eisenstein for the WonderCon press relations for giving us the opportunity to go and sort of fill out the rest of our year's schedule of independence and, you know, some of the capes and tights that we'll be covering. So thanks for that. And now on to Viet in America. So this is the first biographic non-fiction graphic novel that we've covered on the podcast. And does anybody want to give a story synopsis?
<It's complicated. laughs>
All right,
there's
then.
A lot that goes on.
There's a lot that goes on.
All right, so I've tried to boil this down into about three sentences. So GB Tran, the writer, went to Vietnam for the funerals of his father's father and his mother's mother. It was both on the same trip. And through hanging out with their families, his Vietnam family, he became inspired to sort of find out the reasons why his family left. And through learning their stories, winds up sort of re-examining his relationship with his parents and sort of why they act the way they do and sort of what it means to be a sort of child dislocated from his parents' very different culture.
For me, I found that this graphic novel was a wonderful example of how sequential storytelling can make a personal story more universal. I don't think this would have been as accessible if it was a prose story. I mean, you don't know who G.B. Tran is. Why, unless you were studying the Vietnam War or that era, you wouldn't be as likely to pick this up if it was the personal memoir of someone you've never heard of. But as a graphic novel, it pulls you in. You can identify with it more because you're reading, you're seeing these characters, you have the visual in front of you. Perfect balance between captions and dialogue.
Which is amazing because there's a lot of word balloons.
Yes.
It's not like every panel has a word balloon,
but they're
it
not,
doesn't.
Yeah, they're not overpowering.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the kind of book, just like many graphic novels, that if you just flip through it, of course it looks daunting.
Mm-hmm.
But when you read it, you go into that world that he creates for you, and it's a wonderful ride. I loved it.
Yeah.
In case you couldn't tell.
Yeah, no, this book is easily in my top five favorite graphic novels. I was so pleasantly surprised by how good it was. I don't want to start ranking but nevertheless, it's really good. I couldn't stop recommending this to people.
What would you say placed it in your top five? Like, what specifically, like, just stood out about it?
It's the fact that every time I pick it up and crack it open, like, I can pick any random page and it just makes me want to read. There are a lot of artists who try and attempt what he managed to achieve, and it normally comes off really wooden or really obvious. Like, if you look at even, you know, going back to something that we reviewed earlier with Killing Joke, you see these sort of metaphorical concepts that Brian Bolland is trying and Alan Moore are trying to put into the art. And G.B. Tran does them so deftly just by going, hey, here's the father's cigarette smoke. And within the cigarette smoke are images of his past and things that he will never have again. And just these little tiny visual metaphors that don't necessarily hit you on the head because they're just a part of the layout. And your eye just flows because he has this amazing sense of how to use a brush. And he knows how to get your eye to move from, you know, the top left corner of the panel down to the bottom right. Mm. And one of the other reasons that I really enjoyed this book is just the, like I said, the use of brushwork. And with everything else that we've sort of been reviewing, it's sort of, you know, critiquing, it's been very clean art and very, you know, clean lines. And this is just, it's so scratchy. And, you know, there's so much character and organicness to the line work that I really enjoy. So, but it's not necessarily busy or cluttered. It feels like every little motion and gesture of the brush really dictates story.
I agree. I really enjoy, I enjoy the art in the book. I enjoy some of the things he does with it, where there's one page, I believe it's in the first chapter, where they're at Hoon Yip's second wife's house. There's an overhead tour of the apartment, and it's just one solid picture, but then each panel is a different part of the apartment they're looking at, and it's kind of cool where it's just a freeze frame, it's like it's a still image, but you almost feel like you're going on the same tour through the apartment.
I enjoyed it. I definitely did enjoy it. It's very dense. It's a lot of backstory, and it's a lot of, like, family history, and I found it a little overwhelming at first. It was like, oh, wait, he just said a name. Who was that? Did I read about that person? Who's past or present or, you know, are we in? But it really envelops you. Like, you get to this point where you're just so caught up in the story and watching this amazing progression of time, but also, like, yeah, jumping back and forth. It was an interesting way that he kind of broached, like, learning about his individual parents' past, and they're two kind of very separate stories that don't really kind of come into one story until much later in the book, and I enjoyed the art because I think there's so many different styles used in one book. It is sketchy, but it's also kind of watercolor, but then you also have, like, stark, bold colors, and you also have kind of, like, the print look when they're talking about... let's see if I can find an example here. Nope, that's not it. I don't know what to actually call it, but it's, like, really bold print, kind of the propaganda stuff that is...
His propaganda posters that are kind of interspersed throughout. Look for a big yellow...
Yeah.
There we go.
There it is. There's that page number. you know, it's very stark, bright colors, but then
it's predominantly primaries.
Very, black and white, or, you know, just light bits of color and gradient, and yet there's some of when his father was a child that have quite a bit of color to it, and it kind of gets more pastel later on, and it's kind of a mix of artistic mediums that I think really hold my interest and really make me feel like time is passing. It's a really fast read once you get going, so...
Yeah, I mean, who else did it in one sitting?
I did it in one sitting.
I did in two.
Two.
Yeah.
I just, it was like, yeah, once I got started on it, I couldn't put it down because I just wanted to see how the events, you know, unfolded. Because it was like there were times in it that it just seemed like things were hopeless, and I didn't know how they were going to be able to get from, you know, the past to the present and survive, you know, their trials and tribulations in Vietnam.
What I find really interesting is just the fact that those that stayed behind, or at least the people that are left in Vietnam, seem to have, despite everything that they've been through, when he goes back and visits the family, they're happy to see each other. It's a great reunion. When the father meets his childhood friend, Do, like, he's very happy and jovial, and it's sort of this weird, like, you know, contrasting with the family when you see his sister, Lisa, living in New York with him, and they don't talk to each other. And, you know, the whole family, once they got to the U.S., is scattered throughout the country. They don't see each other. They all seem really sad. The colors, whenever they get together, it's always under sad circumstances, or at least it's seemingly sad circumstances. But then, you know, the life that the family has in Vietnam is very happy and jovial in spite of everything that they've been through. So I just thought that was an interesting contrast between the two. And, you know, is it... Not saying that, like, living in America is awful, but it's certainly that, you know, family does...
It's a stark change.
Yeah, it's a stark change, and that family is important. I think that's one of the big messages of the book is...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's just the importance of family and, you know, how it can keep you going.
And the importance of knowing your history.
Yeah.
Knowing your roots. That was definitely driven home by some amazing visuals.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I can't applaud GB's talent for laying out a page enough.
Yeah.
His art style is, I don't want to use words like cartoony or simplistic, but
no,
he
I
has
think
a,
cartoony
he,
is good.
He has an easy art style,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, is crude by Marvel DC standards,
right,
obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But
it's not photorealistic.
Yeah, yeah. But for telling a personal story, it's,
mm-hmm.
it's consistent. It grows on you instantly,
mm-hmm.
and because of his mastery of laying out a page, he can do little visual tricks, but
he can get away with a visual gag. Like, I think
yes.
that he
okay
yeah he throws in little visual gags, and he's able to, within this dense amount of narrative, because of his organic brushwork, he can fluctuate from something that looks more photorealistic to something that looks cartoony. There's the moment when the mother is going back to her home, or the first village that she lived in Vietnam, and, you know, they're walking around the village, and she's just, as she's walking, she regresses in age just on the panel, and everyone that's walking with her stays the same age, but she gets younger and younger going back further into the art styles that you've seen her in throughout the book. And he just manages to make you not even second guess it. Like, you just go with it, because it all just feels so natural. And I don't want to keep harping on...
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, yeah, there's a wonderful balance between not being naturalistic, and he's not afraid to use onomatopoeia, because every time someone takes a drink,
mm-hmm.
he has no qualms about writing drink, 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 drink.
Yep. Yeah.
Or if they're walking on leaves, it'll be squish, 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 squish. And that's fun. That keeps it, even if it's a heavy scene,
mm-hmm.
it just keeps it light. To be honest, I think a lot of people might be daunted by, oh, it's a Vietnam story.
It's about a family that's being torn apart.
It's Apocalypse Now. I don't want to read Apocalypse Now. But for me, since I'm a tad older than the rest of my cronies, for me, the Vietnam War, all of it, at least all of the United States involvement in it, has been in my lifetime. So I grew up with images of the war on the 6 o'clock news, and back when I was a kid, the media actually had more leeway to report than they do now. So it was very common on the 6 o'clock news to see images of villagers and images of refugees and horrific images of villages after they've been bombed or burned or whatever. So this really was a history lesson, even though that was, I mean, I never studied Vietnam in school because at the time it was current events. So that ages me.
Mm-hmm.
But by mentioning the Killing Fields or Apocalypse Now, we usually get the military side of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the United States Army with some Vietnamese in the background.
Yeah, yeah.
Just so you'll know what kind of war movie you're watching or
mm-hmm.
what kind of war story. I love the fact that this is about an American-born Vietnamese man discovering his family's roots.
Yeah.
And that is as you, that's completely universal, or he makes it completely
yeah.
universal.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be, I mean, that's the premise.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be about any ethnicity, it could
mm-hmm.
be about any culture.
Yeah,
but
any person searching
for
their family's history.
Yeah, and but in this case, it's G.B. Tran's story,
mm-hmm.
and G.B. Tran's story
yeah,
needs to take place in Vietnam during the Vietnamese War.
Mm-hmm.
But the story and this wonderful graphic novel is very accessible. And please do not be daunted by it just because it's taking place during a war.
Mm-hmm.
A very unpopular war.
Yeah.
You know, the United States, mm-hmm. quote-unquote, lost that war.
Mm-hmm.
Our government will never use that word. Mm-hmm. But he had no qualms about showing how the Vietnamese government said, the United States lost, they're pulling out.
Yeah.
It's very important. There is the military presence, the Viet Cong,
mm-hmm.
the French,
yeah.
and the Americans. They are a presence in the story, but they are not the story.
Yeah.
This is not a military story with set in Vietnam. This is the story of a Vietnamese
family,
generations of a Vietnamese family,
mm-hmm.
and dealing with changes in their government,
mm-hmm.
and different regimes, and different aspects of martial law that have happened in the family's history.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the other thing, to go back to my earlier statement about making it accessible. It's like life goes on. We just happen to live in a country that
is very turbulent.
Yes, exactly.
The rule of man, not the rule of law.
Yeah. That's a common kind of thing that his mother seems to say throughout the book of like, you know, people did what they had to
mm-hmm.
in that situation, or those were different times. We did what we had to, you know, with the decisions that were made, you know,
but it's
and
never
how
sort
they
of,
dealt with it.
Yeah, it's never a fatalistic thing. Though.
Oh, no, it's not a fatalistic thing.
It's
but
a very protective.
It's really making him understand, you know, he lives in a very, you know, the American culture of,
mm-hmm.
you know, soda pop and you know
Twinkies
and just a very different world than what they grew up in and went through, and it's very hard for him to understand being in something like that because we haven't had something like
mm-hmm.
that in here in the United States. So you know, it's just something that's repeated in various ways throughout, you know, the book of, you know, you do what you have to do to stay together and to be a family and to survive. So,
and also, one of the things that struck me was it wasn't a decision to move to another country until 1975, the end of the war. All through the book, when the family had to move, there was no question that they were staying in country.
Yeah.
They were just moving to a different region.
Mm-hmm.
And even that was culture shock.
Yeah.
When some of the comments that the various children make during, I think
yeah.
it happens
I
two or three times.
I have to move to a rural town.
It's
oh,
like, we
I
don't,
to...
yeah, we don't know anything about that part of the country.
Yeah.
So moving out of Vietnam was not an option until the American troops pulled out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing. Obviously, no one's going to read this story that isn't interested in the history.
Mm-hmm.
But it just gives you some insight about immigration to other
yeah.
countries. It's like you go to where you're to where you can, to where you're welcome, to where your passport will allow you to go.
Yeah.
For us callous Americans, it's just an eye-opening thing to read, you know, why do people immigrate to America?
Yeah.
Because.
I really found the journey of from being a teenager to an adult for GB Tran to be, like, the most, the thing that was pulling me through the story of, I found it very accessible in the sense that he didn't understand his parents, he didn't understand what they had been through, you know. He was born American, he grew up in an American culture, he didn't understand that there was something else, and so, you know, watching this journey and learning about his family and his culture and then what that means when they came home and watching, you know, kind of his parents struggle in their own marriage and just the family dynamics of understanding kind of the troubles that every family has on top of the fact of we fled, you know, Vietnam, you know, and all of the struggles that they went through as well. I found that it's so interesting because you see him grow from the beginning of the book to the end of the book of just understanding a little bit more where his parents are coming from and why they're together and what they mean to each other and what family means and all of that is just something that I found to be very interesting and really I could really relate to. So
I really like that GB Tran goes from at the beginning of the book, he's, you know, the first time you're introduced to him in the book, he's this, like, snarky teenager going to Vietnam. Well, he's not a teenager. I think he's probably in his 20s when it happens, but
still kind of acts that way.
He's got this whole, you know, teenager vibe of just like, oh my god, it's so hot. Why are we here? I wish you wouldn't have told me, blah, blah, blah. And he's just, these constant complaints, and even the,
You hear that, GB? Way!
But it's, the honesty is really amazing to me. Like, the fact that he's able to kind of look at how insensitive he was at times with his parents, because there are certain sequences where he's, they're sort of talking about, he's got some really strong jabs at his parents. They just cut his mom just like a knife, and he has no idea why, like, he just sort of, it's this glib offhanded, you know, remark that's just sort of like, oh, I'm a teenager, and oh, when he talks about, he constantly has this thing of, you know, where he's talking to his dad about, like, why, you know, why the heck are you with mom? Is a big, strong undercurrent of, like, you know, just, this, did you marry her for convenience? And it's just, he's very honest about saying it, but it's such a, you know, deep cut whenever he does, and it's really great to see him be self-deprecating in this whole thing, so.
And even though we're all praising the accessibility of the story, there is a caveat, at least I think, that there is a cast of thousands. But now, see,
that is the hardest part of this book.
Yes.
That is hands down. I will praise him for everything except for me trying to learn the family.
Yeah, but just to give our listeners some background, we all shared this book, and so we were passing around so that we would all read it in time for our podcast. So in my
hopefully,
so in my case, I only had the book for 24 hours. I mean, I read it in two sittings in one day, and then I passed it on next person in our group. So, yeah, it was one of those things where the story is so compelling that I didn't get bogged down in which family member is this?
Right.
Who is this? What era is this taking place?
No, whatever.
It's the story that carries you through, and it's definitely, I mean, this is a novel. This is pretty thick.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's the thickest story we've reviewed so far. And but like I said, I mean, I read it in a day.
Did
the rest of us. But the story is accessible. Don't get bogged down with trying to remember which family member.
Yeah.
But GB was gracious enough to provide us with a family tree.
There's a family tree, and then there's the cast in the front that shows the...
Yeah, the front and the back have, you know, kind of a cast with their little name things drawn on there. Dylan pointed this out to me when I was about halfway through the book, but which
helped
for the second half of the book. But there's a point in time where we're jumping back and forth between his mom's past and his dad's past, and
they're both narrating off screen.
They're both narrating off panel, and I didn't realize that one had one writing and the other one was cursive and one was a different writing. And so I was like, once I realized that, I was like, oh, now I can keep track. Like, I didn't really pay attention to the fact that there was a difference between the two writings. But
when the mother speaks, she's entirely in cursive, and when the father speaks, he's in all capital letters, and it's, you know, that contrast of the two personalities that they have. It's really, like, you see the love that he has for his parents and how he chose to personify them. Mm-hmm. So
it's a very personal story, but it's not self-indulgent. That's what makes it wonderful.
Absolutely.
And my criteria for stories like this, as apart from adventure stories or superhero stories, mm-hmm. a good graphic novel is one that you want to read again and mm-hmm. again. Or if you feel you need to, but this isn't one of those books that you're like, this is so confusing. It's not.
I need to read it again.
Yeah.
You want to read it again because it's a damn good story.
Yeah.
And if you're a little confused about which characters you're reading about, it doesn't matter, really.
Yeah.
You'll get the point anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are some standout casts. Characters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Doe is fantastic.
I was a big fan of Doe.
Yeah.
Why, Chris? Tell us why.
I just like that, despite everything he's gone through, when, you know, they meet up with him again when they return to Vietnam for the funeral, he's still, like, just as light-hearted as he was when he was a kid. And it's like, it's almost like it hasn't affected him at all. It's like, you know, just washes off his back. And especially, like, you find out later on that he was in a labor camp, which I really loved the art in that part because it did a really good job of emphasizing kind of that just that eternal feeling of being in prison. Like, you don't see any end. And it's just like the panels just kind of cycle into each other again and again and again and again, and it does a really good job of showing what he went through.
And there's two points. There's two sort of in captivity moments in the book. There's when the father is taken captive and they're trying to interrogate him to find out where his father is, mm-hmm. and then there's also Doe when he's in the labor camp, and GB sort of recycles the same device where he shows just how long they were there by starting the top of the page with a really huge panel that sort of takes up the whole space and then gradually makes the panel smaller and smaller and smaller until you get to this tiny cluster of images on the bottom right-hand corner that are like half the size of your pinky nail that just show just these moments of their day being cycled over and over again to show that repetition.
Oh, that was a wonderful, wonderful device that he uses several times.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, he basically is showing the entire page, panels of the page, but he mm-hmm. makes them smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
I've never seen that used before, and it's a great way of emphasizing that, and then it went on and on and on. And he doesn't overuse it.
Yep.
He only uses it a few times, but it knocked me out.
Each time is very poignant.
Yeah. And I've never seen it used before.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, he is a serious master of the layout. And it just amazes me, because this is the first, like, full-length graphic novel he's ever done. And, yeah, and to have this much mastery at this point in time, it just, whatever he makes, I'm going to buy it. That's all I got to say.
So I have a question. What did we ask if this was serialized first?
This is all original.
Because I saw the chapter breaks, so
mm-hmm.
I just assumed that it was published.
It's the chapter break is a common motif in the
I thought they were
modern
covers.
Oh, yeah. It's not, though. It was a complete original work.
Well,
so
I just love it even more.
Yeah, yeah. No, because the sort of the three big standout graphic novels at this point in time, I mean, well, Vietnam America just came out, so it's not one of the big standouts, but both Blankets and Asterius Polyp, which at some point we might get to, they have chapter breaks as well, and they sort of start with that small image
that sort of says, you know, you have reached the next chapter, and they're not necessarily sort of chapter one, chapter two. It's just like there's an image to demark that you have reached a new chapter. And, you know, GB uses the same motif. And I love the way he ends chapters. I think he found, like, you feel that as you're going through the pacing, he gets you to this moment, like, when the family reunion in the United States, in the hospital, they do this, he's got this, just the hallway, as different people go in, see, what's her name, I'm going to actually say her name so that we can start doing this, Lanai is my guess on how to pronounce that. As Lanai is dying, the different members of the family are going in, and you're just sitting there looking at the empty hallway, and as they're sitting in the hallway, sort of, or as they're sitting in the waiting room reminiscing, they start talking about sort of the family relations and, you know, this game of Scrabble, and they're flashing back to this game of Scrabble that took place long ago, where he starts asking questions about his family, and it's sort of the first moment where he start as a child saying, oh, who are these people, even though I've known them forever? You know, there's this story that I don't know about. And, you know, his grandmother just says, you know, you really should start asking, because they won't be alive forever to answer your questions. And then the very next page is just this big splash of the father with his mother by her bedside, and just these swirls of color. And it's just, it really got me. So, and it makes me, every time I get to that page, I'm just like, oh, I need to call my family. I just start asking questions because I don't do it often enough. So.
Well, I think that's, like, you know, it all kind of sums itself up at the end of the book, where G.B. Tran finds the book that his father had given him, and the, like, inscription inside of the book is, to my son, a man without history is a tree without roots. And, you know, it's so interesting that you can sum up this book in just that little sentence of, like, his journey to find his roots and his family's journey to find their roots and reconnect with their roots. And it's a really beautiful way of, you know, being able to, you know, maybe he'll pass this on to his kids someday and say, look, you know, this is how I found my roots, you know, you take this and do with it what you will, and kind of that way of passing on family lineage and history, and it's a really beautiful book. It's very beautiful.
It's a great gift for parents to give to their children.
It is.
If you ever want them to call you, pass them this.
It'll remind them. I really found his dad to be a fascinating character.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very complex person, and he actually reminds me a lot of my grandfather. You see him in his story, and in his youth, he's very kind of happy and has, you know, he has some difficulties growing up with not being supported by his parental figure in what he wants to do, but, you know, he's making movies, and he's, you know, doing all these things, and he's very kind of youthful and
artistic and creative.
And kind of a bit of a free spirit, and you just watch over time, and, you know, when you see him in the present day, he's very kind of rigid and almost cold.
All in capitals,
and very serious, almost, and you just have to wonder, like, serious all the time, you know, what happened, and he seems so mysterious about things. He doesn't seem like he wants to talk about his past,
because he left, I think he was really happy in Vietnam, at least for a good portion of the time.
Yes, it seemed like he was, and yet he was, I mean, he was put through a lot of hell in Vietnam, but then again, you know, it was his home, and It's just interesting to, you know, he has his own odd family dynamic and his own struggles with his family, and to kind of see his struggles with his family and how that impacted GB Tran's, you know, how his family was kind of brought up. And I just found his dad to be a very kind of complex and interesting character, of someone who went through a lot, and you could tell it really affected them. You know, when they first visit, they go back, in the beginning of the book, when they're going back to Vietnam, and they get to the hotel, and the window's too small. And he's like, I'm not staying in here, the window's too small. And GB Tran's like, what's wrong with it? Like, I don't understand, why can't we stay here? And you don't find out until later in the book that, you know, he had...
He was in a room with a very small window.
He was in a very confining room with a very small window. And, you know, it's something, you know, you don't think about, but those little things have such an impact, and you just, you know that he was, whether he wants to talk about it or not, he was deeply affected by what happened, and that's why he's kind of changed into this less free spirit, you know, doesn't paint anymore, and doesn't, you know. So I found him to be a very interesting person, because he's a real person.
Well, that's interesting to me also, is just, I would love to know just how candidly GB managed to get his parents to talk about these times, and how much of it was secondhand, or who he had to get it from, because that story about his father is just really amazing.
Well, and that's the interesting thing, is like, whenever you talk to someone about, you know, these violent or difficult times, it's like, a lot of times it's like, nope, not to talk about, talk about the happy times, and, you know, and that's why it reminded me of my grandfather, because it had that same, like, you know, oh, we're going to talk about the war and, you know, hijinks and nurses and this and that, but, you know, when it comes to the actual story of how they got there or what was going on, they don't, you can't really get it out of them, so, you know, that is a good question.
Yeah, the Nicole touched on this. That was the emotional spoiler for me, even though it's spelled out throughout the book. But for GB to be a graphic artist and to have gone to art school and to have gotten little or no encouragement from his dad, and then to find out that his dad was
an artist,
not only an artist, but a celebrated artist, who never got a chance to go beyond one show, but he certainly sold paintings. He was an up-and-coming artist in Vietnam. And GB didn't know that side of his father. And there were several references to his father being a strict disciplinarian. He slapped his wife, he slapped the kids.
Which is what his mother had done to him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just the fact that, to find out that he was a up-and-coming artist, and that GB's grandfather, who was extremely distant from his children, to find out that his grandfather, even in old age, kept one painting of his son, although he was never a very much a part of his son's life. That was the kind of oh shit moment that, I have some of that in my family background as well, and so that really hit me. It's like, wow, my dad was an artist, and we never talked about art, ever. That's why Dad has all those sketch pads in the garage that he never uses. And that really struck me. And there's the page that I showed you guys earlier, that floored me, but I don't know whether can talk about that.
No, it's fine. Like I said, it's, you know, I want this to, you know, we can go ahead and spoil whatever the heck we want. If they go, oh my god, I'm getting too spoily, they can turn it off and they can go read the book.
Well, they've had even longer for this one.
Indeed.
So if you haven't read it by now, shame on you.
The fact that we praise the art and the color and the page layout, and we're so engrossed in reading this story, and then midway through the story, GB just punches us right in the face with actual family photos. And then you see the art goes away, and all of a sudden you're looking at pictures. You're looking at the father and mother at the beach wearing bathing suits. You're looking at his mother as a teenager. You're looking at the grandmother as in a photo, and it just, yeah. And then next page goes back to the art.
Yep.
I mean, the placement in the middle of the story, I can see that as an artistic choice. Well, it is the artistic
choice
book.
Because I think it has to do with what's going on
in that particular story.
Yeah, exactly. It's about going through the old rubbish, and it's right before that line of when he says, "Hey, all this stuff is." I noticed all the stuff that, all the rubbish that we're looking through, it's all Dad's stuff. None of it is yours. And she says, well, you can't guess why? Because Father knew that we were leaving Vietnam, and I didn't. And then the next page is just happy memories, and it's powerful stuff.
Yeah, anyone that has a stoic, distant father figure in their life will jump on this book.
Yeah.
I think I personally kind of liked the placement of the family photos in the middle rather than the end, because I feel like it's a reminder to me that, what I'm reading is a story, but these people existed. It's kind of a flashback to reality of like, oh my gosh, these people existed and they're real, and this is a true story. And I feel like from that point on, even though in the beginning I know it's a real story, it really sinks in at that point that these people are real. And so when I finish the second half of the book, I kind of have a different feeling about it. It's I don't know how to describe it.
No.
I hope that made sense.
It did.
Well, the happy ending is that GV still has his parents. He just lost his opportunity to talk to his grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's what makes it a truly happy ending, because now he, after that trip to Vietnam, he now has more impetus to speak to the parents, because they're there, they're accessible.
Yeah.
He can still ask his dad. I mean, his dad might not be forthcoming, but at least GB can press. I mean, he still has the parents. He lost the grandparents. I think that makes for a happy ending, because to still have your parents and to still ask about their history at the point when you're interested in hearing it is a wonderful family moment.
I'm a little curious to see what you, Dylan, what you think about some of the more expository parts of the book, seeing as that was one of your biggest criticisms of Hereville last podcast.
It's funny, because I actually really didn't mind the exposition in this one. I thought that he managed to balance the art with the exposition. And I do think that towards the beginning, it's a little harsh. Like, there's a lot of stuff where you're running through a lot of the character's backstory, and you're bouncing between his father as a boy and his mother as a child growing up in Lang Son, or whatever. What's the name of the town, really quick?
This podcast is a lot harder because there's a lot of names.
There's plenty of names. Yeah, Lang Son. You're finding out about these, the two of them growing up at that point in time, and there's a lot of expository dialogue in terms of introducing you to all these characters very quickly, and it does get very difficult at the very beginning, and it does feel like that moment when he lands in Vietnam for the first time and he's dealing with all the noise of Saigon.
As emphasized in chapter 3, page 2, also repeated in chapter 8.
There you go.
Yeah, one thing that GB and
Barry
of Hereville fame have in common is the playing with the word blends. And it's their use of that is quite striking, and definitely benefits both of their stories.
Yeah.
when GB is overwhelmed by, well, actually, GB is overwhelmed by being introduced to his incredibly huge family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And just
and you can tell.
And you can tell.
Feel his pain.
Because the word, the word balloons are just overlapping, and,
mm-hmm.
and his cartoony artwork is just wonderful, showing how he's just completely confused by everything, and that's fun. He's
mm-hmm.
he's a very fun artist.
Yeah.
And
definitely.
The expository aspect of it, I mean, just doing our comparison, in Hereville, it was more about we're explaining our culture,
mm-hmm.
whereas Vietnam America is more of a history lesson. So
mm-hmm.
I personally didn't find the exposition overwhelming, because they weren't saying, we're eating croissants even though we're Vietnamese,
yeah.
because of the French occupation.
Yeah.
And then, I'm grateful that he didn't go that route.
It's yeah,
like,
and that's what I really enjoyed about it, was that he just showed their culture. He didn't bother telling you. Like, he went to great lengths to kind of try and have you just in these everyday situations. And, you know, the moment of where he says, hey, GB, eat this. It's a delicacy.
Yes.
and he says, translation, your tender American tummy won't be able to handle it. And then he shows, like, the Vietnamese food partying in his stomach. Like, just showing it that way is goes a long way in terms of selling it visually.
Mm-hmm.
To the point that it stops just being, you know, here in Vietnam, the food is very spicy, and it is very hard for me as an American to eat this part of the pig. Like, he gives that visual representation that keeps the story moving. So.
I think even just when they first, you know, they're there and they're going to the grave sites, and they're,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's all of these things that they're doing that he doesn't understand himself. And
his dad says, shut up.
You know, yeah, he's talking and he's like, shut up, you know, you're, and he's like, can we go wait in the car? And he's like, well, she's not done. And, you know, and you don't have any clue really what's going on or what the kind of the reason for what's going on is, but you don't need to, because it's their journey and their family's journey. And I think it would just bog you down more to try and learn family names, and learn, you know, what they're doing and why they're doing it. And, you know, it's not important for you to know the Vietnamese culture to appreciate and understand this story.
Yeah.
It's only important that you understand that he is learning about his family
mm-hmm.
and his family's culture.
Yeah.
And not that you know it. Because
mm-hmm.
in the end, you know, you're going to equate it to how you understand your own culture anyway. And, you know, that's how you relate to the book. That's how you are able to kind of put yourself in their shoes to some degree. So,
yeah, I love the way that GB is self-effacing, but he doesn't go overboard.
Mm-hmm.
He's not punishing himself like, oh, I wish I had come to this conclusion earlier.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I came to this conclusion at the point that I came to this conclusion
exactly.
that I am interested in learning about my family.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I love the way he plays with his own Americanization versus, you know, the tradition of being Vietnamese-born Vietnamese.
Yeah.
But he doesn't overdo it,
mm-hmm.
and I applaud him for that, because he doesn't make himself out to be, like, a clown.
Right, yeah.
He's just a normal guy that we can all relate to, and like
mm-hmm.
Nicole said, if we're going to see it through our own, we're going to tunnel that through our own
yeah.
interaction with our own cultures.
Mm-hmm. But it's that importance of family, and
mm-hmm.
it's that importance to take the time to understand your family and to keep your family together. And
mm-hmm.
and that's, you know, you look at the story of his parents and how hard they fought to stay together, to be together,
mm-hmm.
and even though when they came to the States, they were all kind of
They all spread.
They
landed in the same place and then spread throughout
yeah.
the United States.
But, you know, it was, you know, how do we stay together? How do we stay
mm-hmm.
safe? You know, how do we, you know, live and prosper and,
mm-hmm.
and that kind of thing? So, and, you know, just learning about your family is a way to keep your family together to some degree. So,
mm-hmm.
Here, we'd like to look through it again.
Yeah, any quick last thoughts?
Well, there is one another piece of artwork that I liked that I didn't really have an opportune moment to talk about earlier. There's one page of Vin's time in the army where his head stays positioned the same in each frame, but all the surroundings change, and his orientation changes too. And I don't know, what I got from that is that, like, everything happens so quickly that it's just like it's just kind of happening in a blur all around you, and it's kind of hard to just keep your focus, I guess.
Yeah, no, as stated before, he's a master. It's very impressive.
Yeah, his use of color is amazing, and I did look on Amazon and his own blog of, I guess, several reviews that he got from people that only read the galleys. So they missed out on the color thing.
Oh, wow.
They read the whole thing in black and white. Yeah, so really missing out.
That's a
shame.
It wouldn't be the same book, I don't think.
No, it wouldn't.
Not at all.
That's one of the really striking things about this is that even though it's, you know, basic primaries, he does so much. I mean, well, it's just across the board. He uses color in so many different ways. It's not just one particular motif.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. And I mean, since I want to be an honest reviewer, it's like I gotta go there. But
mm-hmm.
I was amazed by the fact that because he was working in primaries, and the predominant cast of this graphic novel is Vietnamese, he went with yellow. It's yellow skin tones. And it's like, my universe, my color scheme.
Yep.
I mean, not every page. I mean, there are, as has been mentioned earlier,
mm-hmm.
there are a lot of gray tones, gray tone pages, a lot of black and white pages. But a lot of the flashback scenes, they're monotone or browns and yellows.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I applaud him for that. It's
yeah.
like skin tones, yellow. Deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. And I really I love the kind of watercolorness to
yeah, the watercolor.
I mean
yeah.
I love watercolor in comic books and graphic novels, so
mm-hmm.
but it's just it's so interesting to see that color shift and dynamic of you know, light bits of color, or just the sky is colored, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, but also just some of it is just black and white, and some is just gray tones, and so, and it's just so, it's so pleasing to the eye
mm-hmm.
to have so much variation.
Mm-hmm. And it fits the mood.
It
like,
does.
If nothing feels like it's out of place, more praise. Oh,
yes.
More
yeah.
praise.
I'm really interested in his reasonings for tackling this at the very beginning. Like, this is his first book
yeah.
that he puts out, and it's so dense and it's so personal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why put this out right at the beginning? Is this something that, you know, he feels he needs to get out there and he needs to do now before he goes into something else? Or is it just something that, you know, he had images in his head of and figured he might as well put it down on paper? Or, you know, I just find it so interesting to do such a personal story right off the bat, and I think it's great, and I'm very interested to see kind of what else
yeah.
He does after this to see how different they might be doing something that's fictional versus
mm-hmm.
something that is so personal to him.
Yeah, who knows, the next one could be about space aliens.
Could be, could be. I read it.
Yeah, exactly.
I read it.
He could illustrate the phone book.
Let's tell the audience what GB stands for. What is GB's
oh, yeah.
name?
Gao Bao. Yeah, that's my thought.
Well, it's a GIA, so I always thought it was more like Jia Bao.
Mm. Jia Bao?
But he goes by GB.
Yeah,
yeah,
he goes by GB. Because one of us might have gotten it right,
yeah.
and that's his hatred of his name.
I can picture him slapping his forehead right now.
That was me too.
You sons of bitches.
It's actually Steve.
Yeah, G.B. Tran, author and artist and colorist?
Yeah, no, there's no colorist credit. It just says art by G.B. Tran.
Labor of love.
Yeah, absolutely.
Written and illustrated by G.B. Tran.
There we go.
You would, I certainly can't wait to get my copy for my bookshelf.
Yeah.
Yeah, I reviewed it. I just don't own it at the moment, mm-hmm. but I will.
Yeah.
And I will seek out the author for an autograph. Yeah. And I will say, I reviewed your book.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it's definitely a book for those who are not Casey and Tice fans, and those who are kind of newer to the medium. It is an amazing,
it's a very
emotional,
good introductory book, I think, to the medium.
It's very well done, it's well rounded, and it's a great way to get people who have never had an interest ever in picking up one, you know. So
right, for any listeners that are still new to the sequential medium, it's like, this is a graphic novel.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't exist prior to this.
Mm-hmm.
This
yeah, there's
format.
There's a lot of books that sort of cheat, and it's sort of collected from other places, and then they put it into a graphic novel, but this is 100% original.
Mm-hmm.
First appeared here. Graphic novel. Do you have more? Sorry. I don't mean to keep interrupting.
No, you're fine.
Doing that
it's
a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do find that distinction very bizarre.
What?
People who are in the comic book world and the very, like, difference between a graphic novel and a comic book and, like, the I get it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, you know.
What I've always seen is the distinction. There's the graphic novel, which is a standalone story that was made specifically for a book like this, whereas a trade paperback is a collection of single issues, like, you know, Spider-Man, Superman. It's, you know, it's very serialized, and then they collect story arcs into trade paperbacks.
Yeah. There's a lot of... I realize the semantics has to be annoying, but...
It's just confusing. Because I didn't know, like, trade paperback, because you always say trade paperback, and I never really understood what that meant. Because I just heard graphic novel, so I assumed anything that came
in a book
form
that wasn't a
graphic novel. And then it's trade paperbacks, and then I was like, okay, what's a trade paperback? Totally off topic there.
No, perfectly fine.
It is the topic.
Exactly, yeah. All right. Well, I think that's a good place to end with our semantical argument of graphic novel, trade paperback, and issue. That was episode 5 of Vietnam America. Thank you for joining us. And join us next time, where we will be reviewing Superman Red Son by...
Mark Millar, and art by Dave Johnson and Killian Plunkett.
So if you want to send us an email with your thoughts... we are at comicbookofthemonth@gmail.com. Let us know what you thought of Vietnam America. Let us know what you thought of Superman. Let us know whatever you're thinking. You can also follow us on Twitter @cbotmp. And until next time, which will probably be sooner than it has been in the past, I'm Dylan.
Hey, Cole.
I'm Chris.
I'm Keith.
And we managed to get through this entire episode without talking about Mouse. Thanks for joining us. Good night. Why don't you all fade away? Try to dig what we all say.